everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/gabpod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode was originally recorded on September 30th, 2016. So when we ask you to come to our book party, please don't come to that, because that's already happened and you can't attend things in the past. Without further ado, here's episode 14 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack just cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
Home of the Trump Hotel, made famous by the first presidential debate of 2016 featuring Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Just so you know, that's a hotel, and that's why a man is becoming a president, because he wanted to advertise for his hotel.
That's why he's running for president.
No. That's why he's become our president. President Trump and his great hotel.
We're just opening up on Pennsylvania Avenue, right next to the White House. So if I don't get there one way, I'm going to get to Pennsylvania Avenue another. But we're opening the old post office. Under budget, ahead of schedule, saved tremendous money. I'm a year ahead of schedule. And that's what this country should be doing.
Yeah, so a big debate on Monday, a clash of champions.
Shut up. Shut up.
And the hotel did get plugged, much like he had done a week ago, to the dismay of the press.
Is this episode 13 or 14?
I have no idea.
I think this is episode 14.
Yeah.
We're the only people that knew from the start. This is all it's been about. It's only been about that. He said, if I'm not on Pennsylvania Avenue for one way or the other, that's it. That's the only reason why people go to Cleveland, Ohio, is to plug stuff on Pennsylvania Avenue. Sound weird. That sounded like I was really like a prostitute, like into prostitution. It's like, that's the D-Leagues. I got to work my way up. Anyways, the debate, and because it was the debate, people across the country read op-eds about what Hillary needed to do. We were interviewed. Thank you to people at CQ Roll Call. We were interviewed about that, and I blabbermouthed what she should be doing.
Which is be Piper.
Be Rowdy Piper, yeah. Which she obviously did not do because she's a professional, didn't need any advice whatsoever.
Don't take our advice.
I think it would have been real cool
if
she smashed him with a pineapple or coconuts.
Coconut on his head.
And also, people across this great country read an op-ed.
Yes.
And we wrote an op-ed.
In Morning Consult.
For Morning Consult / Politico. So that's fun. We're doing that because we have a book. Swerve. This is a book plug.
You get swerved.
Much like Donald Trump's whole campaign is to pimp his hotel, this whole podcast, all dozen episodes have been to pimp this book.
I'm fine with that. I'm 100% okay
with that. DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com. Check it out.
I still cannot believe we got that without having to pay a troll.
Yeah.
So nice. DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com. We have a book release party / debate watch Sunday, October 9th. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I actually have no idea if it's going to be a lot of fun. The first hour, which you and I will be hosting, that will be fun.
That'll be fun. Yeah, trivia is fun.
I could guarantee trivia will be fun. I cannot guarantee that the town hall format will be fun.
Well, judging by the debate, which we should get into, that was pretty fun.
That was so much fun. Really quick, before we get to the actual substance of the show, let's finish the plug. Books will be for sale there.
Yes.
We're going to put them on a flash drive, and it's an orange flash drive. Get it? Gimmicks, everybody. They work. So you can buy the audiobook and the ebook. A one flat fee. One flat fee? What the fuck? That's not a thing.
Come on. It's for $9.99.
We actually,
you know, WWE sold $9.99 shirts. Like they said, $9.99 on them.
Yeah. They're available currently.
They're in clearance.
Yeah, I know, but they're still there.
I think we should buy a couple.
Part of me wants to. Here's what I didn't talk about this on the show or with you before the show. Are you okay with selling this for $9.99 or you give us your old wrestling T-shirt and we'll give you a free copy? I'll give you a copy.
Let's discuss that on the podcast. We'll have to.
I kind of want some like old shitty. Attitude Era / Ruthless Aggression.
Well,
era
I don't think
t-shirts.
That's to quote the authority, best for business. So let's look into that.
Fuck you guys. All right, so the debate happened.
Yeah, it was 90 minutes. The internet was like really angry, but I thought it was a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun. Where did you watch it?
I watched it here. We're in my apartment, and
I watched it in my apartment. Yeah. You went to an event beforehand.
Yes.
What did you think of the event? Could you talk about the event?
Yeah. So we went to morning consults debate party. You know, now I'm exposing the business. I left before the end of the party. But yeah, I think people there was definitely a sense that no one had any idea what was going on. People were real behind the concept of the book and of the op-ed.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I wasn't
asking. Like, oh, yeah, this makes sense.
No, the reason why I asked you is because I got to go to the conventions and I got to be around a lot of journalists and a lot of supporters. And you got to be around a lot of journalists in Washington, D.C. at one of the major polling places. I wanted to know, the fact that they had no idea what was going to happen made me feel even better about our book.
Yeah.
That we are the only ones who knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Trump stayed with it. We still thought at this point, it's heel all the way out. There's no pivot.
Yeah, and if you've watched the debate or heard anything about the debate or have seen anything about the debate, even if you're following Russian-based hashtags about the debate, Trump won, clearly. We all agree, Trump won.
Yeah.
But heel, he's still a heel.
Still a heel. And, you know, like a wrestler giving a promo in the 80s, some speculation he might have been on cocaine by the amount he was sniffling throughout the debate.
Have you seen, should we include the sniffing supercut right now or no?
Well, that seems really unpleasant.
Have you heard it yet?
Yeah,
oh, it's so... Yeah.
just gross noises. But I mean, even Howard Dean, the guy who got me interested in politics, was like, this guy doing cocaine? And Howard Dean would probably know. He was a doctor in the 80s. Like, he would know from cocaine. So, you know,
this
could have been. Do you not think that that's like, oh, man, I'm in my head about this debate. Got to go to my old friend. Just a couple bumps and then
a couple.
Hey,
okay.
He's a grown man.
I don't think he was on cocaine at all.
Okay.
Do you?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Do you? I don't think he does.
But I don't know. But actually,
I don't think
he doesn't do anything. Actually,
yeah.
That's the thing. He's sober because his brother was an addict and died.
And that's what makes me question everything I've ever thought about in my life. As someone that has came up, fuck me, you know, writing zines and bands and
working
movies
up
and
through the indies,
bartenders. I meet so many people that like, dude, I don't drink anymore. I'm like, oh, that guy, he doesn't drink it. He's like clean now. It's like, no. You get high every fucking day. You're high right now. And then they're like, oh, I stopped. I just do psychedelics. Like, how do you do psychedelics now? And I know a lot of people are like, I'm clean. I just do Adderall and cocaine. It's like, that's not clean. So that's why I'm wondering, like, yes, Donald Trump doesn't drink. He's never drank. But the cocaine maybe he does cocaine.
And would that be the least surprising thing about this race if they were like, he tested positive, he pissed dirty, pissed hot for cocaine, and he's not going to make it to UFC 205?
Honestly,
that, really,
that
like,
would be the biggest shock of this entire campaign to me, if Donald Trump was a big coke addict. I'm not joking. That would be the biggest surprise, because nothing else has been shocking.
No, I mean, I don't think that would be shocking either. So
actually, no. The biggest shock would be he's on the juice. He's on steroids.
That he's on steroids, but he's just eating KFC instead of working out. And that's why he's obese, which we'll get to. Or obese Jace. Other than the plugs, I think the best part was when Trump, with a straight face, because you gotta like live your gimmick, he said, I think I have a really good temperament, to which Hillary Clinton gave out a woo, did a little shimmy.
Secretary Clinton.
Woo! Okay.
I completely forgot that she actually wooed.
She did woo.
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh. Has there been a supercut yet of Ric Flair doing the woo?
I couldn't find anything. Everyone's focused on the shimmy. That's what's
the shimmy's pretty great.
That's what's turned into the meme. And I've seen a lot of memes that also have a potential WrestleMania Sunfire headliner Shaquille O'Neal also doing a shimmy. So I mean,
from the Gold Bond commercial.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I forgot about that wrestling tie-in. He was already in this WrestleMania, the most recent WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
You already forgot.
He's going to slam dunk the Big Show.
And didn't he come out to the Kanye song?
No, he came out to Panda.
Yeah. So like, how did you clear the rights for that? Like, oh, we clearly did not.
Oh yeah, we just did it on the live network we own, so we don't give a shit. But, you know, Trump stayed heel. I think the housing collapse line was a really good one. When he said that, you know, the housing collapse, which I saw coming, I thought I could make some money. That's called business, by the way.
He's so fucking good.
And then, you know, it eventually, like, I think Hillary really, Secretary Clinton, lowered the boom with the kind of reading all his misogynistic stuff.
She didn't even come close to all of it.
No. But
she referenced two people, Rosie O'Donnell and former beauty queen Hillary supporter.
He said like, she got some of those hits in there. It's only a 90-minute debate. How are you going to do that?
Somebody should do a supercut of every single person he insulted.
Okay.
So do Megyn Kelly, Rosie O'Donnell,
Well, I think the supercut is called her a campaign ad. That it just,
which is
sad. It's very effective.
It's very mean to Donald Trump, according to
to use his words.
All right.
But I do have to say, the great thing is that he said, about a lot of those things I said about Rosie O'Donnell. I've said very tough things to her, and I think everybody agree that she deserves it. Nobody feels sorry for her. He said that in a debate.
That's so great.
And
it's so much fun.
And
we're having fun.
We've been so, I think it's so central. It's not central to the book. That'd be silly. But it is central to all this. And I think we were so close to it, kind of forgot until I had Trump and Rosie O'Donnell eventually led to the Battle of the Billionaires 2007, which is
the crux of this entire thing.
I mean, it was their feud that they're still having, obviously, 9 years later, about her saying that, coincidentally, that he shouldn't be, talking about like what young women should be doing vis-a-vis like Miss America. And Trump flipped the fuck out later that, in January of 2007, there was a fake Trump versus a fake Rosie had a match on Raw, which you can read about in The Donald, our book.
We actually interviewed the man that played the Donald, Ace Steele, very, very nice man, current resident of St. Louis.
Yeah.
Nice guy. And he got to play the Donald, and out of that, he got a small contract. So that was best for business for him.
For him, yeah. And it did lead, eventually they spun that into the Battle of Billionaires, which is this whole connection.
Yeah, and Vince McMahon, IRL, thought it was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, he's a big fan. Lesbionics, didn't he say something about
that? Weird. Yeah, it's in the book.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting, and it's in the book.
Yeah. And I think also something we thought was maybe that Clinton would have to not go heel, but definitely get under his skin, figure out a shot she could take at him. And she did when she said,
from the start, from the first fucking...
At 9/11.
Seriously?
Actually, I don't know if the... I think at 9/11, she started talking about his dad.
That was at 9/11. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, is the first shot.
Yes.
That's not the first shot?
No, the better shot is later.
Oh, sure.
At first, maybe he's not as rich as he says he is.
Oh, that's much
later. Second, maybe he's not as charitable as he claims to be.
All right, so...
So Hillary, hit him below the belt. She really threw him off the Hell in the Cell.
Oh, God.
With that, saying he's not as rich as he says. The only, as I think we've gone over in the thing you can't make fun of. That's what they came up in the roast.
This is not in our book. Because this is one of the few things I was afraid of getting sued about.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. About him not having the money.
That's some of the only things that we were just like, we can't talk about this, but we could have other people, we could cite other people.
And the Forbes saying, we can never be sure, but here he is on our
exactly.
list.
Exactly. So it's one of those things where you just can't be like, he's not rich, because then you got to say, prove it, and it's impossible to prove, because he's a fucking brilliant man.
Yeah.
He's
a liar.
So smart. Yeah, if he makes that much money, but it's all debt, is he worth anything?
Well, it makes him feel like $1 million.
Exactly. So that's amazing.
Which he said, basically the tone he takes when he does his depositions about this. He goes, if I think it's worth $1 million, it's worth $1 million.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Any other specific things in the debate?
No, not in the debate, but I do want to talk about my favorite feature of this debate, which was talking smack. That's the part of the episode where, after the main event, Donald Trump goes backstage.
Yeah.
And talks with pundits, like a normal candidate does.
Yeah, he works the room.
Did you hear the sort of sly slam from Fox News' Megyn Kelly?
No, I did not.
So this is Samantha Bee had this on. So we're not taking any credit for this. Samantha Bee noticed that he was talking to Hannity. Trump was talking to Hannity, and he goes, "We'll cut back to Trump once he's talking to a journalist."
Nice.
Fuck. That's amazing.
I do kind of want to. Like get that what was the thing about the late night wars, like the book that they turn into a TV movie?
Oh yeah.
I want that, yes, but I want that for like Fox News the last year.
Oh, so part three, because part two was Conan.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
you should read it. It's very interesting, only if you care about rich whites.
oh, well, I mean, this is the place to be. So I like that the next debate, you know, the next morning, Trump won.
He won.
Because he said
hashtag
he won.
Trump won.
He said he's going to hit her harder. Because if you have a record of violent misogyny, you should say you're going to hit your female opponent harder.
It's
and
so
he said,
great.
You know, I didn't bring up Bill's infidelities.
Back to the debate.
Yeah.
What was the last thing he said?
That he would support her.
No. That was off. I think that was in the spin room. I'm talking about like on stage.
One
of the last comments is, I didn't want to bring up certain things. I don't think it's appropriate. He was already alluding to
it. He was alluding to it.
He's having fun. He's just having fun.
Well, he also, did we talk about Jennifer Flowers before this? I don't know if we talked about that last week. That had come
so
up.
So much happened since the last time we were.
But yeah, she didn't come, but you know, Trump had teased that he was going to invite WrestleMania 14 special interviewer of The Rock, Jennifer Flowers.
Okay, so we got to trace this back. So Mark Cuban was invited by the Clinton campaign to troll Trump. He said yes. He actually got under Trump's skin and says, maybe I'll invite Jennifer Flowers, spelled incorrectly. Then he fixed it a few hours later.
Kellyanne Conway fixed it.
Somebody fixed it.
Check the source on the tweet.
Somebody fixed it. That's completely true. Somebody fixed it, and now it's spelled correctly. Cuban was slammed through a table by Sheamus in 2009 on Raw. So there's that wrestling connection. The other wrestling connection, like you just said, Jennifer Flowers, WrestleMania 14 with The Rock. The first time The Rock ever says, if you smell what
the Rock's
cooking.
In reference to a hung jury, which if he was a jury, would be hung 9 times out of 10. So there you go.
So politics.
It was a crazy time, 1998. Yeah, so because of the debate, we were watching that. Everyone was watching that. About, what are they saying, 80 million?
Some between 80 and 90, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost Super Bowl.
Yes. And so that meant no one was watching Raw, which is good because they put on a horrible show knowing that no one would be watching Raw.
I can't. It wasn't totally horrible.
It was pretty bad. I think, well, they had the Clash of Champions, not Clash of the Champions, the night before. And then they just decided to have a bunch of rematches and have the same results of the matches they had the night before.
Yeah.
The Reigns, actually, I will say, Reigns Rusev, which we had brought up last time, I thought, just garbage match at Clash. You knew Reigns. We didn't know. But, at a certain point, you figure Reigns is going to walk out with gold. And their match on Monday was actually good, other than it had no sense of, like, Rusev, you don't walk away. But we know about this because we were talking about a Russian having the...
That's the issue. We're the only wrestling podcast that doesn't give a shit about Roman Reigns' in-ring ability.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's fucking jokes. But... here's the issue. I really wish they would have let Rusev hold the belt through the election just to bring up Putin over and over and over again.
Why?
Why? Are you serious? Why? Because Russia, because Trump won, Russia wins. It's the best.
They are staying really clean on that stuff.
I noticed.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like that. You know who's very clean on that stuff? Linda McMahon, who was at the debate the same night as Monday Night Raw. Asked before the debate, hey, you gave Trump $5 million. It happened to be the same year that Mr. Trump was at WrestleMania. Why'd you give him that? She's like, I don't know. I don't fucking know.
So since Trump stopped giving any money, I think there's been like $8 or $9 million that have come into the foundation from other people. And the bulk of that, the biggest chunk of that, is $5 million from Vince and Linda McMahon, who are the World Wrestling Titans. They gave it in the years after Trump appeared on WrestleMania in 2007. They say it's just a straight charitable gift, not a compensation for him being on the television show. Although yesterday, Linda McMahon was asked before the debate, why did you give Donald Trump $5 million? And she said, basically, I don't know, I forgot. So imagine being able to give $5 million away and forget why. And so there's also $500,000 from NBC Universal, which televised The Apprentice, which Trump starred in. They also have refused to explain that. But there are gifts. A lot of the rest of the money has come from people who owed Trump money, and Trump directed them to pay his foundation instead of him.
Yeah, she basically, I think it was, if it was five total, whatever the breakdown is, it was like four the year that he was at WrestleMania, and then another one when they did the bad angle with where he bought Raw and they caused their stock to plummet.
Yeah.
Because they said they put a press release saying that Donald Trump had bought Raw. They're a publicly traded company. He did not buy Raw. Can't work the marks, man, when the marks are the SEC.
Anyways, let's go back to Raw / Clash of Champions.
Yes, what else caught your attention?
I think that Charlotte Flair is the best, and I loved her stuff on Monday night.
Yeah.
So that alone was worth watching.
Yeah, no, it was good. And I will say, there was some other stuff. The big blow-off to a 7-match series, which was actually 9 matches long, between Sheamus and Cesaro, which was very good. I mean, surprisingly good.
Sure. If you like wrestling,
I don't like
wrestling. I like strong men and women talking.
Yeah, I know. But if you like wrestling, it was good right until they somehow... The big thing that to not nerd out on wrestling, actual wrestling stuff, is that WWE does 50-50 booking, where if you win, you're going to just lose the next time. No one can look particularly strong. And everyone's like,
unless
you're
Bray Wyatt.
That's well, you just lose all the time. Rule. Yeah. But they said, well, of course you can't do 50-50 booking on a best of seven. No, they did, because they had to count them out. So they were 3-3-1.
And now they're
an odd couple tag team, which is fine. The backstage is possibly Cesaro. His contract could be coming up, so they don't want to build him up if he's not going to resign. And this way, if he's leaving, they can just get...
So did CM Punk actually tweet at Cesaro?
I missed this.
Okay. Yeah. God, this is so fucking geeky and annoying. Yeah. Did you do doubles? You texted me that during the debate. Were you doing two screens? Were you watching the debate?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's two cruiserweight matches, man. I'm not going to miss cruiserweights on Monday Raw.
All right.
Yes. And so once again... You know, didn't have to go up against the debate. SmackDown, better show. That's the
sure.
You know,
no, yeah.
And it does the stuff you like, because there isn't much wrestling. There was three matches, 2 hours,
and the matches that they did have were good.
Yes, but they did a lot without that. They did something really old school, which I don't know if you got the reference of what I thought they were going for and kind of missing. But so they had Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton in this long feud that Orton keeps basically winning at every turn, keep outdoing Bray Wyatt. But Bray Wyatt's trying to get in his head, and he's like, come find me. He sets up the backstage area like a maze, and around every corner, like it's a choose-your-own-adventure for Randy Orton, and if he like goes door number one, he's fine. If it's door number two, it's Eric Rowan, probably going to get arcaded. But it really looked like Jake the Snake and Warrior from the 80s, when Jake the Snake was getting in Warrior's head, and all these backstage spooky segments and stuff.
I think it's a great analogy that I don't think a lot of people are picking up on.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as effective.
Jake the Snake, one of the greatest talkers of all time.
Yes, and Bray Wyatt is, but it, not really servicing. But also, I think they fucked up the video playback because it was live.
Oh, really?
They did the thing, you know, when you, I'm doing the wheel motion, when you have like when you can fast forward and rewind like mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. I think someone had hit it. And so it, like, they had to kind of sell it. And online
exactly.
With the video recap, it cuts out before that. So I think they fucked it up on live TV, which is great. Also, you know, them doing promos and talking in a way that is getting people interested in matches we've seen a million times. Miz and Dolph are going to have another fight for the title, which should be boring, but it's not, because Dolph put his career up on the line.
Also, Dolph and Miz's parents were there. They was in Cleveland on Tuesday night. I love whenever their parents are involved, because their parents are having the best time. They're booing, they're cheering. They get it.
Yeah.
They like money. So there's going to be, Dolph is going to win at the next pay-per-view. That's going to be nice.
Or not.
Nah, I don't, he's going to win. It's going to be great.
He has more time on his contract, but there's some thought that he could maybe just take some time off.
Or a movie.
Maybe a movie.
Or another
maybe
movie.
Another great direct-to-DVD. But yeah, if his career ends, do you think that'll be like his likely presidential vote, or his presidential choice, Gary Johnson, whose career will probably be over?
Oh, God.
Yeah, so... we did cover this last time when he had his Aleppo moment, which he has now turned into like a meme unto itself, when he couldn't name a foreign leader that his favorite foreign leader, he couldn't name one. I think his VP candidate had to throw him a lifeline. And then now he's turned it into like, yeah, I don't like any foreign leaders.
So this is great news if you're a Hillary Clinton supporter.
Yes.
And yeah.
No, I mean, I think there's some places where taking some votes from Trump helps her. Yeah, I mean, it's the third party. She's not losing liberals to Johnson. She's losing conservatives.
She might be losing some conservatives. Millennials.
No,
I disagree completely.
Okay, we'll see. We'll have to see. But either way,
Brie Bella might now vote for Jill Stein.
Okay, good. There we go. When Jill Stein tried to tweet like, I'm not going to have an Aleppo moment, she named foreign politicians who are not leaders of their countries. So that's if Daniel Bryan votes. So yeah, just other little stuff. Alexa Bliss jumping Becky was a good way to move that storyline forward. AJ and Dean had a great match. Had a pretty good match with Cena causing interference at the end to set up their match.
I adore talking smack with Cena.
And that was the best part, just to get there. I mean, that promo was like 20 minutes long.
John Cena is the RuPaul of talking smack / SmackDown / WWE. He's like, yeah, I'm the best. I'm not going to change where you are. I surround myself with positive people.
Yes. After I'm done talking smack, I'm taking the jet to New York, because logistically, I don't have the time to turn around, because I need to go back to work. And yes, I take care of myself every day. That's like knocking a guy for like, hey, you're in the gym all the time. Yeah, well, I want to get stronger. And that's what you need to do. And not only that, I'm getting stronger physically. I'm getting stronger mentally. I'm certainly happy with my relationship. I'm in a wonderful place spiritually. I'm very thankful Nicole is there watching this interview because she wants to know what I have to say. That makes me feel good as a person. And it'll be my pleasure tomorrow to go promote that show because I want it to be a success because she works her butt off. Like I said, you are the sum of the five people you surround yourself with. And I surround myself with people who just go. The Vince McMahons of the world. People who are the first to show up and the last to leave. No, I don't stand and dress where Dean Ambrose dresses. But this is where someone has twisted reality. Dean Ambrose said John Cena and Dean Ambrose don't like each other. No, Dean Ambrose doesn't like John Cena. John Cena doesn't care about Dean Ambrose. And if Dean wants me to care about him at No Mercy, he'll either step up or step aside.
On topic, he also paraphrased the First Lady.
He did.
When he said that, you know, basically when they go low, I go high, saying that, you know, Dean Ambrose had called him out as a lazy part-timer. He's like, well, I'm not going to, you know, lower myself to that. And then he proceeded to just rip everybody a new one and tell him why he's the best, why he's the face that runs the place.
This is also tied to politics because John Cena is a part-timer. And because he's a part-timer, he occasionally co-hosts the Today Show.
Yes.
And he occasionally says bad things about Donald Trump.
Dick Cheney even said in this case, not American, not in line with our values. So just because you have some people in a rally who stand up and applaud it,
right,
that does not mean that it's in line with the values of this country.
No, no, no.
I'm not saying
the only reason I point that out is to say, well, this is appalling and who would ever support this? Well,
right.
People who support Donald Trump, some of them do like what he said.
No, I wasn't speaking of you. I'm saying in general, this part
of
the conversation.
Brash. This is bold and this is brash. I'm with you. I don't know how it works out. The last time we did anything like this is in World War II, and that was one of the more reprehensible acts by the United States of America. We are the melting pot, except for you. That does not go along with our DNA.
Right.
Trump is being Trump. There's no other way to say it.
And hate begets hate.
That's a shoot. He's not like Donald Trump.
That's very interesting because the McMahons clearly like Donald Trump.
Yes, as we've seen, and they have given this money to his foundation, which is basically being used as his slush fund.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It could be the Al Capone thing. Probably won't be, but, you know, who knows?
So this also has an analog to real, quote-unquote, real sports with the Chicago Cubs. Chicago Cubs, the Ricketts, the patriarch, the matrix, I don't know, the head of the family is now campaigning for Donald Trump, right?
Right.
They gave $5 million to Scott Walker in 2015, and then they were part of the Never Trump movement. Donald Trump on Twitter said, I got some secrets about you, Ricketts. They've completely caved, and they are now
a lockbox.
They're now campaigning for Trump. I don't know if you know this. The daughter of the Ricketts, she used to work for Obama. She's a big Hillary Clinton fundraiser.
Ooh.
As of this week, mommy and daddy are making money for Trump. She's sitting in the front row at Cubs games wearing a Hillary Clinton hat, making money for Hillary, completely negating both sides.
Yeah, just rich people throwing money at problems.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I had to find this story to make it okay for me to like the Cubs again because I felt like garbage. And if the McMahons were all of wrestling and everyone was a Trump supporter or everyone was a Hillary Clinton supporter, I couldn't enjoy it. But knowing that the face that runs the place, John Cena, not AJ, the Styles, the gays, not him, not the, I'm going to cut that part. But
yeah.
John Cena is a liberal, and the other ones are the opposite. That gives me hope.
Yeah, and he's the one who's going out there saying these things. The McMahons are giving money to shadowy foundations that only people who read post-political coverage know about.
Yeah.
So who's having more effect? We'll see. To keep the Chicago connection alive, a guy from your fair city, from parts unknown in Chicago, a big street fight veteran, Billy Corgan, involved with another company, TNA, which could this getting some flashbacks to the end of WCW here.
Let's timestamp this right now.
Yes, so it is 6:38 p.m. on September 29th,
which is Thursday.
Thursday.
That's important for an interesting reason. 100% of the times we've recorded this, news has happened in the political spectrum, on the political side of this.
Right.
I don't think anything's going to happen tonight. Thursday, right. September 29th. But I do think there's something going to happen tomorrow on the wrestling side.
Yes.
And that deals with TNA.
So basically TNA has been in dire financial straits. If you've never heard of TNA, that's why. They're not on a major. I think they're on like Destination America, which I think used to be the TV Guide channel.
They used to be Destination.
Oh, they lost
America.
That. They're on Pop TV.
They're on Pop TV.
What is that?
Pop TV used to be the TV Guide channel. That being said, Pop TV has some good stuff.
Right. Tell me what channel it is. Exactly. So they don't have, and it's they've been like not even second rate. Like calling them second rate does disservice to the word second rate.
I think
for a very long time. I mean, it's been a decade since they had any.
This
any
is straight up like relatives. NBA D leagues. Like name one D league team.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's very tough to compare because I mean that's the non comparison with WWF and WCW was that they were equals. WCW was winning and they've never come anywhere close. But it is interesting because there are some ex-WWE guys there. The Hardys are there. We've talked about the great stuff Broken Matt Hardy is doing. By the way, did you see that Matt Hardy did a kayfabe interview with Sports Illustrated?
I have it pocketed, thanks to
you. So sports can suck it, because he's doing kayfabe interviews about the Meek Mahons and not being challenged on it, which is great, in 2016. But basically, they don't have enough money to run this company. The woman who runs it is named Dixie Carter, and she's been, a lot of these problems can be at, if not all, can be laid at her feet. But Corgan came on earlier this year in a mix of behind the scenes and on-camera role. His promos are not good.
Okay, here's the interesting thing about all of this. Corgan used to work with the WWE.
Yes.
Okay, not like behind the scenes or anything. Mm-hmm. He was just, you would see him at shows.
Right.
He has a relationship with Paul Heyman, who is famous for ECW / currently Brock Lesnar's advocate, which is a fun thing to say.
Not a real job.
Not, but it's a fun job. He also started his own wrestling company called Resistance Pro.
Yes.
And he folded that company because it's really hard to start these things. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And so Corgan jumped on board with TNA. It totally made sense. And it still kind of makes sense. You could tell his influence because in the Final Deletion Part 2, one of the there's 1979 is used in the background in one of the scenes.
Did you not? That, yeah.
Okay, so it's when the zombie people that I don't know the names of
Decay shows up.
When Decay shows up and she's hitchhiking and there's a hick because it's the last acceptable thing to make fun of.
Yeah.
Is driving. He's listening to 1979 on the radio.
That's so great. I mean, clearly the blow off of this should have been a cage match where they play.
Clearly that might
so a rat in a cage match, which is something that's probably not going to happen because Bound for Glory is their pay-per-view on Sunday, and if they don't, we were talking about Friday, if they don't basically pay the production, like make this show happen, this company's probably dead. So there's behind the scenes things of who's going to buy it, if it's going to be Billy Corgan, if it's going to be the Harris brothers, who were ex-wrestlers, they were in the Attitude Era and before then. They're two big twins. Their gimmick in the Attitude Era was they were bikers. And one time in TNA, one of them wore an SS shirt. So they're Nazis. Well, neo-Nazis, I guess. They're not, you know, original flavor. But so they're involved. But it's really crazy. And it's close to WCW when WCW was folding and Eric Bischoff was running. And he was trying to, like, if I can just get the money together, I can keep this going. But they didn't have TV deals. Here they have this really minor TV deal. They've also got debt. They've got. It also seems a lot like ECW, and that's the comparison with Paul Heyman. Is Paul Heyman, if he had gotten a TV deal, or if he had gotten some money, but he would rather have not sold it. He wanted to be the captain at the, you know, when hits the iceberg thing.
And the reason why I brought up Paul Heyman is Paul Heyman tried to sell ECW to Billy Corgan in the late 90s, early aughts when Corgan was at the height of his popularity.
That I did not know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Corgan said no.
Yeah.
It's valued for way too high. I am not doing that.
Yeah.
And I think TNA is being valued at like $33 million. Yeah. It's not, I mean, it's not a lot of money, all things considered, but it's a lot of money for what they currently have.
Which is not much.
So your prediction is that the pay-per-view is going to happen or not happen?
I can't even really say. I don't know. I don't know the behind-the-scenes stuff enough. I think they've been on death's door 8,000 times, so what's one more time?
So your guess is...
I think it happens, but... If it does happen, there will be a new owner. It won't be Dixie Carter.
And maybe
I think it'll be Corgan if he can figure it out. It seems like he wants to do this. He's been trying to do it for a long time. Like you said, he tried to start one. It's tough to start from scratch. And TNA, for whatever it's worth, it wouldn't be totally from scratch.
Here's another thing that is a way too in the weeds thing that doesn't necessarily relate to politics in any way. Billy Corgan is currently working on a solo album with Rick Rubin,
who was at the debate on Monday,
who's in the front row. Or sorry, not the front row, but behind the announcer's table every single time there's a pay-per-view in L.A.
Yes.
or near L.A. and occasionally at WrestleMania. So Rick Rubin is a huge wrestling fan.
He also started a promotion.
it would not be surprising if these two teamed up and or they teamed up and brought in the WWE, because this is not that much different than what Shane McMahon originally wanted to do for the launch of the network. The idea behind WWE.com initially was to make it the one-stop shop for all of wrestling. It looks like this might be step two in making that happen.
So we could see, we will know by the next podcast the fate of TNA. I know everyone's on their seats, but I just hope for one more. This would be totally TNA to have the hottest angle in wrestling this year and then blow it because they couldn't pay their bills.
Anything else?
That's it. We'll the DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com. October 9th, if you're in the D.C. area, we'll be at the Black Cat, just blocks from the beautiful Trump Hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue.